Let's open up to the book of Acts, chapter 28. Book of Acts, chapter 28. You find that place, you're able, let's stand together. Book of Acts, chapter 28. I'd like for the Lord to help us tonight. And I believe probably more than I want His help, He wants to help us. One thing that I rest a lot in Christ is that Christ for sure wants more for me tonight than what I want even for my own self. And if we could just get a hold of a little bit of what He'd want for us, maybe just for a few minutes of time get our eyes up off of each other and set them on Christ, it'd sure help us to get and receive from the Lord what He'd have for us tonight. I really believe that. I want to say this before I read the text, and I'm sharing my heart, and I'm going to read the text. And I'm going to try to preach, but I really want to do something for the Lord, and I hope you do too. I hope as a body that our body really wants to do something for the Lord. Y'all want to do something for the Lord? I mean, listen, I don't want to just go through life and just float around. And just sit on a bench somewhere, sit on a pew somewhere. I want to be what the Bible say in Jude 1, 22 and 23. I want to make a difference, thank God. And here's the thing, we can make a difference through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how to say this really without just saying, I'm not really interested in leaving a mark through the 401k or pharmacy's not my passion. Maybe your job is yours. That's not my passion. I don't wake up in the middle of the night trying to figure out how I could make another dollar or sell another pill or kill another turkey. I don't wake up in the middle of the night. And that's not what stirs my heart. That's not what grips me. I have never one time woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, God, I'd really like to kill a bigger deer than the last one. But I'll tell you what wakes me up is that the judgment seat of Christ is coming. I am going to stand before God, and I want to stand there doing something for the Lord. Amen. And I say that tonight to say it simply like this. This message, if you ain't interested, do nothing for the Lord, it won't pertain to you tonight. But if you've got a desire in your heart to do something for God, by the help of the Lord, we're going to read this text and preach. Bible says, the book of Acts chapter 28, said verse 1, when they were escaped, speaking about Paul, Luke, and the rest of them that was in the storm of their life, in Acts 27, said when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. Said, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. And the Bible says, and said he was a God. Let's bow our head and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I sure thank you tonight. Father, I thank you for the whole day. You've encouraged my heart in the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for what's been happening this afternoon.
And God, I'm praying for a few minutes of time. God, you'd help us in a special way tonight. Father, I pray that you'd help us to preach. God, under the unction and the anointing of Almighty God, I pray, God, you'd help us to say, Lord, what needs to be said tonight. Not in the energy of our flesh, but in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Father, I pray that you'd help me tonight to say things above, God, what even we know. God, I'm asking you to speak to hearts and to homes. And to God, I pray to encourage us in the Lord and in the work. Father, I sure thank you tonight. God, I could be in a lot of places, but God, I am glad I'm in church in the house of God and enjoying the riches of your grace. I pray tonight, thank you for being as good to me as you have. Thank you, Lord, God, for finding me in the shape I was in. God, and when I was not profitable, God, I sure thank you. And Lord, that you put me in your family anyway. And Lord, I love you tonight. I ask you please to help us. In Christ's name, I beg and I ask. Amen and amen. You may see that. I'm interested. There's a lot happening in this text of Scripture. But if the Lord would help me for a few minutes, I want to just to run by a few things. Maybe by way of introduction, I try to preach the message. You understand, Paul has just came through the shipwreck of his life. He's standing here now with 276 prisoners, plus soldiers and other men, and they are shipwrecked on the island of Melita. And we find that he's cold according to the Scripture. How the Bible says there's a present rain and there is a cold. And in the middle of that, we find the Apostle Paul. He went out and he gathered a bundle of sticks and he laid them on the fire. Now listen, don't miss this text and don't miss what happens in chapter 3. And there's probably no fireworks went off and nobody was shouting it down. There wasn't no choir singing, and yet the Apostle Paul was doing a work for the Lord. Let me say this to you, a few things for you. First of all, we see here in this text that there is a personal work. The Bible says Paul gathered sticks. Amen. I want to say to you tonight, thank God. I'm glad it wasn't about something that you had to be educated or have a great lot of money. You don't have to have a great intellect and to be willing to go down and to pick up sticks. Amen. I've just found in the house of God and that most folks are too good to pick up sticks. Amen. And nobody shouts you. And they don't build buildings and put your name on it for picking up sticks. And they don't write out cards for picking up sticks. And they don't get up and brag about you for picking up sticks. But thank God they still needed to be picked up. Amen. I want to say there's a personal work. And Paul didn't say, I'm an apostle, and let Luke go pick up sticks. And Paul didn't say, hey, y'all must not know who I am. I'm the greatest Christian to ever live. And let somebody else go pick up sticks. Oh no, Paul was willing just to pick up sticks. Amen. I want to say this, friend, I mean it with all my heart. If God's will for my life is to simply pick up sticks and to shove another stick on the fire, I'd say hallelujah to God. I want to pick up sticks to the best of my ability. Amen. I want you to listen. First we see it's a personal work. But then I thought about this. It's a practical work. Man, listen, they snow again. There's not nothing going on much. You say, why'd he pick up sticks? Hold on to your hats, neighbor. They needed a fire. Amen. And you can't have a fire without wood. Amen. And so there's, listen, we trying to put too much sometimes mysticism on the will of God and just go do what God has said to do. I'm telling you this, listen to me. I don't have to pray about going and talking to sinners. God done said to do it. Amen. There's nothing, thank God, left. I don't understand. I mean, these folks all the time, and they say, preacher, I'm going to go pray about it. I don't have to pray about what God's already said to do. Amen. There's nothing to pray about. How could I say this to you today? Whenever I stand there and I say, hey, Davis, go take out the trash. Hey, listen, if he looked back at me and said, Dad, let me pray about it, and I'll take it out when I feel like it. I'll tell you what happened, friend. He'd get his hind end whooped. Amen. I'll tell you, listen, he don't need to pray about what I said to do. Amen. Go do it, thank God. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, the Bible says to go and be witnesses in the whole of the world, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And we ain't got to pray about that, brother man. I ain't got to pray about sharing the gospel. Hey, I ain't got to pray about praising God. That's somehow to help me right there. And these folks, I don't know where that happened at. Had got in the house of God. Had to say, well, you know, I don't much feel like it tonight. The last time I checked, praise ye the Lord. Still's there, amen. Everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. He done said it's right, amen. The Bible said that praises are comely and the upright of his people. I'm telling you, it's right to praise God, and I ain't gonna pray about it, amen. Now listen, don't nobody get too nervous. I don't want you to. At times I come in the house of God and I preach because it's right, amen. It's right, thank God. I pray about what to preach, but God already settled that matter in my heart. He said, preach the word, amen. Thank God. I ain't got to look for a billboard. I ain't got to try to run down the road and wait on a feeling. I've got the word of God, and I can preach it, amen. I can preach it, amen. And don't tell nobody I can like it when I'm doing it, amen. I'm saying this, it was practical. It was not brain surgery. He just picked up some sparks, had some sticks, and he put them on the fire. I won't say this to you, friend. He didn't perform a miracle where a stick was needed, amen. And you say, preacher, I'd like to do miracles. A miracle not needed right there. But what is needed is somebody throw another stick on the fire. I'll tell you what we need in the house of God today, amen. We need some folks that are willing to get down and just throw another stick on the fire, amen. And we don't need, thank God, more miracles. I got plenty of them, thank God. I'm saying it was a practical work. It was a personal work. But I want to say this. It was a profitable work, amen. How could I tell you tonight? And whenever he picked up that stick and he put it on the fire, it didn't just help him, but it warmed 276 other people, amen. Thank God, listen. I'm about to get happy, amen. I want to say this to you. That's something about being in the house of God and somebody throws a stick on the fire. It brings warmth to all of our hearts, amen. How do you say, preacher? Listen, I'm going to tell you this. And don't tell nobody this. I've been around this thing for a pretty good while. And I've been in some churches. I saw a fellow one time and he said, preacher, he said, it's a little cold around here. I thought, man, that'd be a good place to build a fire, wouldn't it, amen? Everybody around sitting in the cold. That's because nobody wants to build a fire. Nobody wants to bring a stick. Nobody wants to pick down. Pick something up and put on it. Hey, listen, I'm telling you this. I thank God for the profitable work, amen. I'm glad somebody is still picking up sticks, amen. And so, Lord, help me tonight. I want to preach on this. I wonder if you're ever going to do something for God. If you're ever going to put a stick on the fire. It's three things we find in this text that you're going to have to get past in order to do that, amen. Heaven, I ain't talking about, look here, I ain't talking about going being a missionary. If you ain't going to pick up sticks, you ain't going to go be no missionary. Amen. You say, preacher, I'd like to be a missionary. I don't know if I've been in this church before or not, or if I've just thought it a bunch, but however how it goes right now, I'm going to say it. And I was thinking about this the other day. I heard this fellow say this one time, and he said, if you've got a preacher in your church, if he's willing to pass over a piece of paper that's been dropped on the floor without picking it up and putting it in the fire or putting it in the trash, then he's not ready to be a pastor yet. Amen. Boy, I got thinking about that, Brother Josh. I thought, man, listen, if you can pass over something, and I watch it happen here. I'm not getting nobody tonight. That's not the purpose. Happen to watch folks just walk over trash all the time. Now listen, I'll tell you, you could reach down there and pick up that trash, and it sure be a blessing. Amen. But instead, we'll say, no, that's somebody else's responsibility. Thank God. Listen, that's why we got Allie a vacuum cleaner, and let her go get that trash up. Thank God. Listen, I'll tell you, it's a mighty poor attitude when we put it off on somebody else, and when we know good and well we could do it. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. That's for free. Didn't have nothing to do with the message. Hey, you just need to hear that. Amen. Hey, but I'm going to say this too. If you're going to ever do something for God and put another stick on the fire, the first thing's this. You're going to have to get past the trauma of the shipwreck. Amen. I want you to notice this. And the Apostle Paul in Acts 27, he was in the worst storm of his life. It was as bad as it had ever been. But I'm thank God that in Acts 27, and what happened to him there did not stop him from doing something for God in Acts 28. Amen. I thought about how many folks in their life, how many, listen, they've been in that place for so long. I thought about this, several things in that storm. And number one, the duration of the storm. It was 14 days that he had been in that place, day after day. Look here, they're not, y'all understand, he's not on a Disney cruise liner. Amen. Is everybody all right? Everybody all right right there? He's not on, thank God. I mean, he's not on the Disney cruise. He's not on a princess cruise line. I thank God he's on a ship made of wood, and he's a prisoner. And for 14 days it's been raining. He's wet, cold, and miserable. I thank God for 14 days he's been in the worst storm of his life. And if I was a Baptist, I thank God as soon as I got out of my storm, all I'd done was told everybody about how bad it's been for the last 14 days. Amen, amen, amen. I'll say for 14 days, I didn't see the sun or the moon. For 14 days, I'm wet. For 14 days, I've been cold. Let somebody else put a stick on the fire. Thank God, but I'm glad that the Apostle Paul didn't say I've been in a bad storm. He saw a present need. Had to do something for God, and he just done it. Amen. Oh yes, listen to me, friend. I'm telling you, thank God he picked up a stick. And I thought about the duration of that storm. I thought about how long that it lasted. And then I thought about the discouragement in his soul. There's folks tonight, listen, I believe they want to do something for God, but somewhere in their past there's been a shipwreck, there's been a storm, and they just ain't never hardly got over what that is in order to go and do something for God. I'm going to tell you this, I want you to listen to me. If it's behind you, just leave it right there and go on for Christ. Amen. Go on for it. Go on for it. I just told some folks a minute ago. I just told some folks a little bit ago. I said, man, I've told this 100 times here. From that pew to right here. The devil reminds me of an awful lot of mistakes. But for the life of me, when I'm preaching and God gets to helping me, I'm not even thinking about those things. I'm just thinking about, man, I could have been shipwrecked. But instead, thank God, I'm in the house of God. Amen. What a blessing. Praise God. If you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to get over what's behind you. Amen. There's people, thank God, listen. And you say, well, Brother Kevin, this or that. I'm telling you, he had discouragement in his soul. And the Bible said when all hope was taken away. I mean, listen, that's a pretty low place to be at. He didn't have no hope. That storm went on for 14 days. But then I thought about this. There's a duration discouragement. But I thought there was a destruction of the ship. He wasn't just in a storm. His life was a shipwreck. Amen. And now look here, don't nobody get too nervous at this. Look, could I help you right now? This ain't the first time Paul had been in a shipwreck. Amen. And this ain't the first time that the Apostle Paul been in a storm. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, that they had been three different other times and had been recorded that he was in a storm. Amen. He even said one time he spent a night and day in the deep. And thank God this storm, though, was the worst storm of his life. And despite it being the worst one, I want to say this, it was not the first one. It wasn't going to be the last one. It was just one. Amen. Hey, don't get nervous, but I'm going to say this. There's things behind you going to mess you up. There's things in you now going to mess you up. And you probably ain't going to bat a thousand for the rest of your life. But thank God there's grace. Amen. You're going to have to get over what's behind you. Amen. You ever going to do something for God? Thank God. Listen, everybody under the sound of my voice, and there's people no doubt all across this building, and you said, man, I ain't worthy to do this and I ain't worthy to do that. Look here, get on the same train where the rest of us is home. Ain't not a person under the sound of my voice worthy of doing anything. Amen. But here's the good news. God don't qualify you based on your works. He qualifies you based on the witness of the Holy Ghost. It's what God has proclaimed. That's what's worthy. Amen. And if you're in his son, he's made you worthy. So just get over yourself. Get over your sin. Get over your storm and go do something for God. Amen. You're going to have to get over some of the storms. Past trauma, the storms, you're going to have to shake off the trauma of the storm. Second thing I want you to see is this. You're going to have to shake off the threats of the serpent. If you think that God, the devil's going to let you just jump out in the work of a God and it's not going to bother you. I don't know really how to tell you this. I don't want this to be a spoiler alert. But if you're going to try to do something for God, it's going to be an uphill battle the whole way. Is that okay for me to say it like that? And you say, preacher, you'll say, I don't have much of a battle. I like how Billy Sunday said, if you ain't running into the devil, you're traveling the same way he's going. Amen. Thank God. Amen. If you find that it ain't a tooth and a nail fight, you'll say, preachers, it get easier. Listen, I'd like to encourage your heart right here, but I want to be truthful for you. It gets harder. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You'll say, why in the world would you want to do it? It keeps getting sweeter too. Amen. Thank God. I understand, friend. You ain't going to get you say, preacher, if I could just get victory in this area, I'd be doing good. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get victory in that area, and then God's going to start shining a light in another one. And then God's going to shine a light in another one. And God's going to shine a light in another one. That's what growing in grace is all about. I'm telling you this, friend, you hear me, and hear me well tonight. If you ever going to do something for God, use just as well to expect an attack from the devil. Amen. You say, preacher, where is he going to attack? He's going to attack at the first opportune place he gets. I'll tell you what I noticed. You know what Paul was doing? He was working with his hands. Guess what the devil attacked? Don't listen. I know some of you are sleepy. I can done pick up on that. I'm going to have to preach through a little of that flesh tonight. Amen. I'm saying this to you, friend. Hey, listen, he was doing a work with his hands, and the devil attacked his hands. And don't be surprised if you start doing a work with your mouth and you start doing a work in your mind, that the devil don't attack those places. He's not partial. He'll just attack whatever place he can. He'll attack the head. He'll attack the heart. He'll attack the hand. He'll attack the husband. He'll attack the wife. He'll attack the children. He'll attack where he can, how he can. Don't be surprised when the devil strikes. Amen. It's almost like folks get doing something for the Lord, throw a stick on the fire, and then the first time the devil attacks, they say, well, this must not be the will of God. No, thank God, shake that thing off and throw another stick on the fire. Amen. Amen. I'm saying this to you tonight, friends. You're going to have to just as well to expect an attack. He attacks where he can. I thought about this. He attacks how he can. He don't really care how he attacks as long as he attacks. Y'all okay right there? Listen, He attacks sometimes from the outside in. Uses the world to attack his people. Sometimes he attacks from the inside out. Listen, you know what you're going to have to do if you're ever going to serve God? You're going to have to get to a place in your life where you can look past people and understand where the attack's really coming from. I don't know how to tell you this. I know, listen, we ain't going to shout it out tonight. I understand that. I want to preach. If you're going to throw another stick on the fire, you're going to have to understand that what you deem as a discouragement, somebody came around and said, "Preacher, they discouraged me." You're going to have to look past them and realize that was not the intention to discourage you. You're going to have to understand. The devil sometimes, it's amazing how folks can sometimes use words and they don't even know how deeply those things cut. But it's almost as if the devil knows right where to push the button.
There you go.
Praise the Lord.
And he knows who to use to do it.
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm preaching to myself right now. He'll use people that you love. He'll use people that you hate. He'll use whoever, whenever. I'm saying, listen, he'll attack what he can, he'll attack where he can, he'll attack who he can. You say, "Preacher, is he going to attack me?" Well, he attacked the Lord and John the Baptist and John the Apostle and the Apostle Peter. I got thinking about this. I got thinking about everything they called the Lord. They said he was a wine bibber. He was a deceiver. He was Beelzebub. Is that right or not right? He was a gluttonous man. I mean, the list goes on and on about all the lies and the attacks of the devil. But you need to understand that's all they are. Just go on for God. I don't know why we got to have the approval of everybody around us. Paul knew he needed to put a stick on the fire. He didn't have to consider the Council of Jerusalem to figure out if he needed to put a stick on the fire. Ain't that right? He didn't have to reach out, figure out what he needed to do, put a stick on the fire. And when that serpent got him, he didn't make a big deal about it. Didn't put a Facebook post. Lord God, help us. He didn't say, "Hey, look what just happened to me." He didn't take a picture of his hand and put it on Instagram. Talk about how the devil attacked him. No, he just shook it off and went back to work. Amen. I don't know why we got to. I'm just trying to help you tonight. I hope the Lord is. But if you're going to do a work for God, you're going to have to learn to shake off some of the attacks of the serpent. Just understand what it is and go on. All right, well, there'll be even less people going to shout on this one. You're going to have to shake off the trauma of the storms. You're going to have to shake off the threats of the serpent. You're going to have to shake off the thoughts of the spectators. Oh, Paul, he sits there. I love this because this is, they had to be Baptists. Them people on that island had to be. Paul gets bit. And the first thing they said is, "He's a murderer." What they did is they criticized him. Now let me help you. I mean, I want to help you. If you're going to do something for God, you're going to be criticized. Y'all all right there? You know what I found out, Brother Jones? I've been in this thing a little while. I've been just down the road far enough to know a few things. And what I have found is nobody ever criticizes somebody behind them.
Exactly.
Nobody ever criticizes somebody doing less. Y'all right there. The only people anybody's ever critical of is somebody who's trying to do more. You start trying to do something and the people who ain't doing nothing all of a sudden going to get real strong opinions about who you are. Chris,
man, that's good preaching.
It's gonna, They said, he's a murderer. Now look here, Brother Beatty, this is what makes me happy. They were right and didn't know it. They said, he's got to be a murderer. They didn't know how many he had murdered. They thought he was bad, didn't know how bad he really was. The difference was, they said, it looks like the sea's going to have vengeance. He said, no, I was on a road and I found grace. Yeah, they was right and didn't know it. They're going to be critical, friend. Listen, don't be discouraged when people start criticizing you. I was talking, matter of fact, me and Justin Compton sitting back there, me and Justin came to me one day and he told me about somebody who had said something about me. And I told him, he said, you probably ought to, I ain't trying to make nothing public, and I ain't going to use, he said, you probably ought to address that, probably ought to tell him about it. I told Justin, I said, I ain't got time to say something to everybody who's ever said a bad thing about me. Y'all okay? Listen, you go tell whatever lie you want to. I'm probably not even going to respond to it. Whatever, I'll promise you, whatever bad thing you say about me, the truth is worse than that. Truth's worse than that. I just happen to know it. First of all, there's critical of him. They said, man, that fellow there, he's a murderer. And then when he didn't die from their criticism, they crowned him. They said, he ain't a murderer, he's a god. Oh, listen. If you're going to do something for God, you're going to have two sets of people that you're going to have to watch out for. You're going to have to watch out for the crowd that's overly critical. And you're going to have to watch out for that crowd that's overly flattering. There's some people in here that think I'm the best preacher, and that's not true. And they, some of you think I'm the worst preacher, and that ain't true either.
That's the truth.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's right.
Right.
Yeah. It's right. Could I tell you this? One thing, if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to get settled in your heart, is what the person to the right and left of you thinks about. Matters none.
Right. God knows, brother.
But it's what you're going to stand accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes,
when you stand there, it won't be somebody thinking too little or somebody thinking too much. It'll be somebody thinking exactly what's right. You're going to have to shake off the thoughts of the spectators. I notice it wasn't none of them doing anything other than sitting around being critical of everybody else. Well, putting her in a dish right here, I want you to watch this. What you find is when they shook it off, there's a crowd that was critical, there's a crowd that crowned him, but there's really, all of them was confused. He wasn't neither. He wasn't a fierce murderer and he wasn't a false god. He was simply just trying to be a faithful servant. You say, preacher, does picking up sticks help anybody? I got trying to think about this, trying to think in my mind. Reckon where them sticks came from. I imagine they came from that shipwreck he just got off of. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some sticks on shore, but there's a bunch of broken boards he could have thrown on that fire. He took all that stuff in the past and he said, I believe I'll just turn that into something for the glory of God. And I'm telling you, if you're going to ever try to do something for God, there's some things you're just going to have to shake off.
Yeah.
Just shake those things. Shake off your past trauma. Shake whatever the devil's doing to attack you now. Shake off what anybody else thinks. And go do what God's put in your heart to do.
Yeah.
That's the message. I'm done. Stand to your feet.